Today, here comes the wealth destruction. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. As foreshadowed, we are now seeing the sharp reversal in asset prices, which of course was driven through the roof due to ultra-low interest rates, central bank quantitative easing, and government support through COVID, plus, of course, huge debt growth. And the recent gains were, well, really largely spurious, and a correction was always going to come. Hopefully, some watching our shows are best prepared for this process, which, by the way, will take some time. But it is clear that wealth will be destroyed across property, shares, bonds, metals, and crypto. No surprise then that US stocks ended sharply lower on Friday, tumbling to two-month lows as a warning of impending global slowdown from FedEx hastened investors' flight to safety at the conclusion of a tumultuous week. The session also marked the monthly options expiry, which occurs on the third Friday of every month. Options hedging activity has amplified market moves this year, contributing to heightened volatility. All three major US stock indices slid to levels not touched since mid-July, with the S&P 500 closing below 3,900, that's a closely watched support level, and suffering its worst weekly percentage plunge since June. It's been a tough week. It feels Halloween came early, said David Carter, managing director at JP Morgan in New York. We are facing in this toxic brew of high inflation, high interest rates, and low growth, which isn't good for stocks or bonds. A deluge of mixed economic data dominated by a hotter-than-expected inflation report cemented an interest rate hike of at least 75 basis points at the conclusion of the Fed's monetary policy meeting next week. The University of Michigan's latest survey found that with continued declines in energy prices, the median expected year-ahead inflation rate actually declined to 4.6%. That's the lowest reading since September. At 2.8%, median long-term inflation expectations fell below the 2.9 to 3.1% range for the first time since July. But it's unclear if these improvements will persist. Now, financial markets have priced in an 18% likelihood of a supersized 100 basis point increase to the Fed funds target rate on Wednesday. But believe it or not, this is down a little from a couple of days ago. We expect the FOMC to deliver a third 75 basis point rate hike at its September meeting and upwardly revise the median path for policy to a peak rate of 4.1% by the end of 2023 as it contemplates a longer tightening cycle with higher peak rates, Morgan Stanley said. And there was more bad news, which came from both the World Bank and the IMF. The World Bank said late on Thursday that the global economy might be inching towards a recession as central banks aggressively tackle sticky inflation. And the IMF said it expected a slowdown in the third quarter. Inder McGill, the World Bank's chief economist, said he was concerned about generalized stagflation, a period of low growth and high inflation. And the World Bank highlighted that because the new tightening policies are synchronized across a number of countries, Sophie Lund-Yates, lead equity analyst at Hargrave Lansdown, wrote in a note, the effects of these interest rates could be compounded and magnified, leading to a steeper than expected slowdown in global growth. And risk sentiment went from simmer to boil in the wake of FedEx's withdrawal of its earnings forecast late on Thursday, citing signs of dampening global demand. Its shares were down 21% on Friday. The profit warning triggered a wave of downgrades on Wall Street, with Goldman Sachs cutting its price target on the stock to $20 from $23, anticipating earnings to be weakened in the coming quarters. Other transport asset-based businesses were also expected to face tough margin-related headwinds and/or elevated EPS risks, Goldman Sachs added, as the global economy moves into a deeper potential economic slowdown. Dow Transports, viewed as a barometer of economic health, plummeted by over 5%, its drop led by FedEx. But peers, including United Parcels and XPO Logistics, also fell, as did e-commerce giant Amazon.com. So the S&P 500 lost 0.69% to end at 3,873, while the NASDAQ lost 0.9% to 11,448, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.45% to 30,821. In fact, the Dow dropped more than 4% this week. General Electric also was a big drag on industrials after falling more than 3% as the company flagged ongoing supply chain issues that are expected to continue to not only hamper product deliveries, but also weigh on cash flow. And in tech, meanwhile, Adobe slipped 3% after a slew of Wall Street analysts downgraded the stock on concerns that the software company's deal to acquire Figma could weigh on earnings growth. And bears found it fit to hammer gold to the mid-1,600 US lows seen before the pandemic rally of 2020, which of course eventually resulted in all-time highs of over $2,100 for bullion. This is not meant to happen, seeing as it's a safe haven, but Thursday's sell-off in gold was beyond gloom, as a wave of risk-off built across commodities, longs in the yellow metal ostensibly became its biggest victims. One by one, the stop losses on gold got taken out like nine pins as the market teetered on unfounded panic. While the dumping gold breached fundamentals over the past 24 hours, there was also no evident stop for it until the rate hike was out of the way, said Ed Moyer, analyst at online trading platform Onya. He added, gold got pummeled ruthlessly. If Treasury yields keep going up, that will keep the selling pressure on bullion. Oh, and by the way, silver came out in sympathy. With another 72 hours before the Fed announces its September decision on interest rates, it's possible things could get worse for gold before they get better. In fact, gold closed at $1,684, which appears to have perplexed many watchers in the absence of a clear trigger for the plunge. That said, the dollar index remained elevated at 109.64, and yields on the 10-year treasuries sat at 3.455%, while the 2-year was stronger at 3.8713, still inverted, still signing a recession ahead. The measured moves in Forex and bonds were more in sync with the news and data from Thursday, which included weekly US jobless statistics, US retail sales figures for August, and New York Fed manufacturing numbers. That was the last big day for US data releases before the Fed rate decision. The jobless stats showed filings for unemployment claims fell for a fifth week in a row to their lowest since the end of May, signaling a healthy labor market that could fuel America's spending even as the Fed tries to curb that with rate hikes. Even then, the sheer drop in jobless numbers wasn't staggering. Initial claims for unemployment insurance for the week ended September the 10th were at 213,000, down just 5,000 from the 218,000 from the prior week. Ditto with the trend in retail sales. Here, there was growth of 0.3% in August, suggesting that tumbling fuel prices had boosted Americans' ardor for other purchases that kept up inflation and therefore rate hike expectations. Oil prices rose slightly on Friday as a spill at Iraq's Basra terminal appeared to likely to constrain crude supply, but remained down on the week on fears that hefty interest rate increases will curb global economic growth and demand for fuel. Brent crude futures settled at $91.57 a barrel, up 0.8%, while US West Texas Intermediate crude futures settled at $85.40 a barrel, up 0.35%. Both benchmarks were down about 2% on the week, hurt partly by the US dollar's strong run, which makes oil more expensive for buyers using other currencies. And in the third quarter so far, both Brent and WTI are down about 20% for the biggest quarterly percentage declines since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. Oil exports from Iraq's Basra oil terminal are being gradually resumed after they were halted last night due to a spillage which has been contained, Basra Oil Company said. The spill at the port, which has four loading platforms and can export about 1.8 million barrels per day, drove up prices on the prospect of lower global crude supply. That definitely threw a scare into the market, because the initial report was that those barrels were going to be out of the market for some time, said John Cudliffe, partner at Again Capital in New York. The market was also rattled by the International Energy Agency's outlook for almost zero growth in oil demand in the fourth quarter, owing to a weaker demand outlook in China. And US crude supply also appeared to increase as energy firms this week added oil and natural gas rigs for the first time in 3 weeks, as relatively high crude prices encouraged some firms to drill more, mainly in the Permian Basin, according to energy services firm Baker Hughes. European shares slid 1.6% on Friday as recession warnings from two major global financial institutions and bets on a large interest rate hike from the US Federal Reserve next week knocked sentiment further. The decline sent the continent-wide Stoxx 600 to its worst week in 3 months, down 2.9%. Except real estate stocks, all major sectoral indices were in negative territory, with industrials, healthcare, and financials dragging the most. Shares of Deutsche Post, Kuhne & Nagel, DSV Panalpina, and Royal Mail slumped between 4% and 8% following the FedEx news. And the DAX in Germany traded 1.66% lower to 12,741, while the CAC 40 in France fell 1.31% to 6,077, and the UK's FTSE dropped 0.34% to 725.27. There's further evidence of the slowdown emerged in the UK on Friday, as UK retail sales posted their sharpest fall of the year so far in August, dropping 1.6% on the month and 5.4% on the year. The figures were both well below analysts' expectations for a drop of 0.5% on the month and 4.2% on the year, and added to a picture of an economy sliding quickly into recession. The European Central Bank hiked its key interest rates by a historic 75 basis points last week, and of course signalled more hikes ahead as the policymakers attempt to get on top of those soaring prices. And in corporate news, Uniper stocks fell 12%, with Germany close to taking a controlling stake in the struggling gas importer, potentially paving the way for a full nationalisation of the firm. And Germany also placed the German subsidiary of Russian oil giant Rosneft under trusteeship on Friday, handing control of the PCK refinery in Schwedt to the federal regulator. The euro-US dollar traded 0.16% higher to 0.9994, and the pound sank to a new 37-year low against the dollar at one stage after data showing those retail sales plummeting in August. A reflection, of course, of an ever more acute cost of living crisis. The data showed just how far the surge in energy and fuel prices has eaten into consumer spending power, even if spending is still being supported in the near term by a strong job market, pandemic-era savings, and increasingly a rising consumer credit. Analysts said the numbers increased the likelihood that the interest rate differential with the US will widen next week as the Fed hikes rates by more than the Bank of England. The pound ended at 1.1423. Asian stocks tumbled on Friday, with most regional indices headed for weekly losses amid growing expectations of those hawkish moves by the Federal Reserve and the rising fears of a global recession. China's Shanghai Composite was among the worst performers on the day, sinking more than 2.3% to 3,126. Heavyweight real estate stocks weighed the most on the index after data showed Chinese house prices fell at their worst pace in 7 years, and losses in real estate stocks also spilled over into the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, which shed 0.89% to 18,761. China's stock market benchmarks all fell by more than 2% over the week, and the offshore yuan fell through the level of 7 to the dollar, then recovered to 6.9938 as the economy put out a mixed bag of numbers that analysts said were weaker than they had looked at first sight. Growth in industrial production and retail sales did accelerate, but largely due to targeted tax breaks for the domestic auto industry. Other stimulus measures aimed at propping up a moribund real estate sector prompted a quick uptick in investments in fixed assets, but markets zeroed in on another bigger annual decline in those house prices which were down 2.1% on the year in August. They've now been flat or in decline for 12 straight months. And also of concern were private sector figures showing a 23% drop in tourism spending over the recent holiday weekend and a 26% year-on-year drop in movie attendances over the same period. So despite data showing unexpected growth in China's industrial production and retail sales, Chinese stocks were down by more than 3% this week amid growing concerns over economic growth in the country. Beijing's strict zero COVID policy has taken a heavy toll on China's economy this year. And South Korea's KOSPI index fell 0.7% to 2,382 after data showed that the country's trade deficit slipped to a new record low in August. High commodity prices and a softening won pushed up the cost of South Koreans' imports this year, weighing on the economy. Now in Australia, Australian shares lost 2.1% in a watershed week for the world economy as those inflationary pressures pushed the US Federal Reserve to contemplate its biggest interest rate hikes since 1981. The S&P ASX 200 ruled off the week at 6,737 points on Friday. That's down 1.52% for the session. The All Ords fell by the same margin. Atlas Arteria, which returned to trading after raising capital to buy a controlling stake in the Chicago Skyway, sank 15.6% to $6.59. Atlas raised $2.5 billion of new money at $6.30 a share. Coal stocks reversed their dramatic gains from Thursday's session after the Biden administration solved an impasse between US rail workers and rail companies that threatened to stop the movement of coal across America. Commodities were broadly weaker as demand concerns resurfaced. BHP Group fell 1.8% to 38.04. Rio Tinto dropped 2.3% to 92.45. And Mineral Resources declined 5.2% to 66.39. Iron ore traded on the Singapore Exchange down 2.1% to $98.55 a ton for the October futures contract late on Friday after further weakness in Chinese property prices. Australia's share market lost 2.6% on Wednesday, or about $60 billion in market capitalization terms, after the August US inflation report beat expectations and fueled bets that the Fed will raise those rates on September 21 by a full percentage point. The global sell-off was grounded in the bond market's expectation of higher interest rates. But elsewhere, Morgan Stanley declared lithium a hot commodity for retail investors, and it found retail trading action in the big ASX lithium names jumped to $3 billion in August from $500 million a year ago. Trader favourite Pilbara Metals fell 2.1% to $4.59, and another favourite, Lake Resources, edged up 0.5% to 93 cents. Among the banks, ANZ fell 0.8% to 23.55, CBA fell 0.87% to 94.23, NAB rose 0.47% to 29.96, and Westpac was flat at 21.53. Macquarie, though, was down 2.19% to 172.67. And finally, in crypto land, the cryptocurrency market was also not spared during the week, losing over $69 billion from the CPI data release. The total market cap for digital assets fell by over 8.4% from around $1.07 trillion to $987 billion. Bitcoin declined by around 10% following the rally last week that saw the foremost digital asset break above $22,000 for a bit from a low of $19,000. The decline in Bitcoin's value has seen it break below the 20,000 mark, and it now is at 19,837. And meanwhile, Ethereum, expected to complete its merge this week, has also fallen by over 7% and continue to trade below $1,600, despite the decline in social activity around Ethereum, which has grown over the last 3 months, peaked ahead of the merge's completion. Ether was last at $1,437.60. And according to Lunar Crush, Ethereum has had nearly 55 billion social engagements from over 23 million mentions and over 160,000 contributors in the last 3 months. But the majority of cryptocurrencies experienced large liquidations according to statistics from CoinGlass, and the total market capitalization continues to drop. It's down more than two-thirds from its peak. So standing back, you can pretty much see whatever asset class you're in, from property through to shares, through to metals, through to crypto, it's all looking down at the moment. And I guess the question is it too late to get out? Should you get out, or should you just weather the storm? Well, from my perspective, the storm is going to continue, probably not just for a week or two, but for months, as this whole inflation thing gets worked out. And if you take a long-term view, values probably will come back later. But the risk is, of course, people panic on the way down. And in fact, many inexperienced investors sell into falls, which isn't always that wise. On the other hand, if you plan ahead and position yourself appropriately, maybe holding cash is not a bad idea at the moment, because later it is conceivably possible that you can buy back in at considerably lower levels. And indeed, the experience in the last big crash cycles is that those who are out of the market on the way down and sat there waiting for the value to appear were ultimately the winners. But of course, that takes a lot of patience and, frankly, also a lot of courage. But as for day traders and as for trading the movements, I would not even go close to that at the moment, because there are too many variables driving the markets. So the message from today is simple. Wealth destruction is happening, and it's going to continue to happen. And if you are wise, you will take precautions accordingly. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.